Today on Real Life Radio.
God's in control. Doesn't God say to you, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you? Doesn't God say to you, cast all your cares upon me and I'll care for you? That is a prophetic utterance of your personal life.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to let you know that if you miss a few episodes in this series, you can always catch up at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, What You Should Know About the Real Jesus, Part 1. This is a series, of course, that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 21, we'll consider how curious we are about what happens next. You see, it's human nature to wonder about the future. As Jesus nears the cross, his desire is that his followers are ready for what's about to happen to him. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that it's only through the eyes of God that we can see life clearly. The death of Jesus was, of course, not the end, but the beginning. His resurrection and return is what gives us hope for the future. Now, in his message called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
God knows what you're going to have for lunch today. You may or may not know. In fact, you think you know. You're saying today, I'm going to go after service and get me a number 2 fish tacos, black beans and rice at Wahoo's. Okay. That's what I'm thinking. But that hope is based upon faith that Wahoo's will not run out of that fish taco. So I'll go through third service a little faster than this service. Why? Because the specter looms that they could run out of fish. What if they do run out? What will I then pick? I don't know. But guess who knows? God does. You say, well, Jack, wait a minute, I have a problem with you. I have a problem with that. What if you do get the Wahoos and do get number 2 fish tacos and you do sit down and eat it? I will praise the Lord. But you didn't pick number 2. And you said God knew what you would pick number 2. If you picked the second choice, your second choice, he's going to know the second choice. But what if you got your first choice, what you wanted, and you didn't get the second choice? Listen, God knows what we would have done if we would have gone down that route. He knows the outcome of it, even though you and I never went down that road. Is that not awesome? Can someone say amen? God is so great. Well, what's going to happen if I do this? I don't know. But he knows. Well, you know what? I went and picked door number 1, and let's make a deal. I should have picked door number 2. God would have known. God does know if you would have picked door number 2. Well, then how come God didn't have me pick door number 2? Because God knows what's best. He's amazing. He's amazing. So keeping that in mind, John chapter 18, verse 4. John 18, 4 says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, he went to the cross. Jesus knew everything. Why is the study of the future events in Bible prophecy and here in Luke chapter 21 so important? Mark these things down. I'm going to give you 6 quick things. Bible prophecy should be embraced by every Christian. I kid you not, church, I have had Christians tell me, can you let me know when you're going to speak about future events? Because I don't like to hear them and I can't come on those Sundays. I'm not joking. I don't understand that. Because listen, what's your perspective? Prophecy scares me. Why? It shouldn't scare you. Jesus said, I told you these things in advance that you might know. You see, for the believer, prophecy ends good. It leaves a good taste in your mouth. It leaves you with the last bit of news, which is the best. Have you read the book of Revelation? I know you have. Read the end of the book. We win. It's glorious. Read the end of the book. I remember when I first got my first Bible. I was 19 years old. I've got a Bible. I read the book of Revelation. I read the last part of the book first. Listen, you read the last part of the book because I'm terrible about that. I want to see how it ends. Oh my goodness, I know what side to be on. This is pretty awesome. And then you can read the whole rest of the book knowing, I know how, this is looking scary here in Leviticus. Oh, it's not looking so good here in Psalms. Oh my goodness, what about 1 Kings? Don't sweat it. Read the end of the book. You see how it ends. It's awesome. It's good news. It speaks to the guarantee of your salvation, Bible prophecy does. Did you know that your salvation is prophetic? I don't want to talk about future things. Well, honey, you better, because your salvation is in eternity, and that's future. How important is that to you? Number two, it creates confidence and boldness in your life. You know God's in control. Three, it causes you and I to see the events of our lives more clearly. We understand. Look, we see more clearly. You in this church see more clearly than most people, not because you come to this church, but because you know the Bible. America seems to be just going down the tubes. That has to happen. Read Bible prophecy. The Bible says Israel's got to stand alone with no help from anybody. We're the only country helping Israel. So for Bible prophecy to come true, what has to happen? We have to stop helping Israel. Where's the direction our government's going? Not helping Israel. Does it break our hearts? Yep. Do we pray against it? Yep. But listen, God said, hey, Israel will be all alone in the last days just before I come back. Wow. I see more clearly. Number four, it calms your mind and your emotions. God's in control. Doesn't God say to you, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you? Doesn't God say to you, cast all your cares upon me and I'll care for you? That is a prophetic utterance of your personal life. Will you have a tendency to worry next Tuesday? Yes. Jesus says, I've already thought of next Tuesday for you. I've taken care of it, so throw it over to me. How good is that? You wake up on Tuesday and you say, woohoo, Tuesday, here I come. Tuesday ought to be shuddering at your appearance. Number five, it increases your faith in God and his word. By the way, your book, the Bible, oh, listen, if you're in a cult today and you kind of came on in here to find out what's going on, check this out. Your cult books wish that they had accurate prophecies. The Bible stumps them all. The writings of the Jehovah Witness, the writings of the Quran, the writings of the Book of Mormon, the Bible stumps them all. Satan cannot produce prophecy accurately. It's an awesome thing to realize. And then finally, it repeatedly demonstrates to you that your God is real. The real Jesus Christ speaks about the future with absolute accuracy and never makes a mistake. You say, why do you bring that up? You act like there's other Jesuses. Paul the Apostle said there is. There are Jesuses that people create. There's the Jesuses of the cults, as I mentioned a moment ago. The Jesus of Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, and Islam is not the Jesus of the Bible. Not even close. Not even close. Completely different. Also, keep this in mind. He expects you and I to know what time it is. It's time that you and I know that we're ready. Are you ready to meet Christ? How do you know that? Look at verses 7 and 8. So they asked him, saying, teacher, but when will these things be? That's a great question. And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? Verse 8, and Jesus said to them, mark it, everybody. Take heed that nobody deceives you. Technically, we don't need to go any further than this. Will you mark that? Take heed that no, or that you're not deceived. Don't be fooled. Isn't it funny? Jesus could have said 1,000 different things. Hey, when's all this going to happen, Jesus? You know, I want to add this. God bless the disciples. You know, they were a lot of boneheads. Remember, they made a lot of mistakes. You know what? You and I would have made the same mistakes. We make fun of them a lot. You know, Peter always sticking his foot in his mouth. You know what? I thank God Peter was there. In fact, Jesus said to those guys, you know what? You've been with me all the way through my trials. God bless those disciples. You know what blows my mind here? You and I in the West, we cannot relate to the magnitude of what he had just delivered into their ears. It's all coming down, you guys. Where you guys have been meeting God, where you guys think that this is the religious icon, geographical GPS place of the earth, it's nothing. It's coming down. They didn't run away from Jesus with their beanies on fire or their turbans burning and saying, you know what, I didn't hear my feelings. Jesus, you made us upset. He told them the truth. And you know what they said? They said, wow, when? I pray that's our response today. When? When will these things be? What will be the sign of the end? And my friend, remember this. He's going to be speaking about, in a few moments, the end of the age as it relates to Israel and the world. Don't be deceived. It's a tremendous statement. He wants to leave this in their ears, and there's a great reason for it. His disciples are hoping, by the way, no doubt, to secure a date from him. Jesus, set us a date. Set us a time. Give us a day. When's this going to happen? Jesus is not interested. Listen, Jesus is not interested in setting dates. Anybody being operated and conducted and under the influence of the Holy Spirit will never say that the Lord is coming back on this day and at this hour. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. That's very important. Now, Paul the Apostle did say, concerning the times and the seasons, you'll have no need that I should write to you. Clearly, the believers will begin to discern the times and the seasons in which the Lord's return is near. But nobody will know the day or the hour. He expects you and I, my friend, to know what time it is. And are you ready? He says in verse 8, take heed, watch out. You guys, if I could show you the word take heed, I would have to be standing here with a Roman gladiator's suit on. I would have to be in a certain position, and I would have my sword and my shield, and I would be taking heed. That's what the word means. Jesus said, I want you to get into the stance of a Roman soldier that's about ready to take on a war and take on an army, and you get ready, and that's how you live the rest of your life. Against what? Against deception. You guys, you need to be like this, ready against deception. Looking. Are you visiting this church today? You need to be looking at me like this right now. You don't know me. You need to be listening like this. Judging everything that's said against the Bible. When you turn on the radio, when you hear somebody, it doesn't matter if they're a believer or not. You need to be in that place of judging against the Word of God. Is this right? Is this good? Is this of the Lord? Does this jive with Scripture? Is the Spirit of God working? Is He speaking? We are to be taking heed. It's a strong military term, and do not be deceived. Tremendous statement that is. The word deceived in Greek means this, to cause to roam away from a single path. It means to wander off into danger, to go into a region that's uncharted. Man, if you're a sailor, you never go into uncharted waters, you're nuts. To go astray, the word means to err. Listen to this, the word also means to be seduced. To be seduced by Satan and his spiritual workers. And I want to say something that's probably not popular, but it sure is accurate. There's more satanic seduction taking place today from pulpits in churches than I believe at any other time in world history. You say, well man, yeah, I haven't seen anybody with fangs in the pulpit with a red cape and red underwear and a pitchfork. You're not going to either. The Bible warns us that there'll be people in pulpits, there'll be people that are leaders in spiritual pursuits, and they look like angels of light. Have you ever seen an angel of light? I haven't, but they gotta be cool looking. So cool that they can deceive, if possible, even the very elect of God. Amazing. Are you ready to take on the age in which you and I are living in of deception? And one of the questions I have in my life is, how far have we already been deceived by things? You say, Jackie, I'm a Christian. I can't be deceived. Listen, we can be deceived. We can be snookered. I don't know what snookered means, but it sounds like deception. He's been snookered. You don't want to be snookered. To cause to roam off the path, to fall away. It's an amazing time we live in. Strange thing is that people almost seem to be willing to be deceived. Tell me what I want to hear, will you? Tell me what I want to hear. Take heed that you not be deceived. I wrote some things down that matters to me. That I, as an observation, I see people being deceived more than ever before, and I wrote these things down. Deceived by the cults. I see people deceived by false prophets. Deceived by satanic verses. Deceived by signs and wonders. Deceived by cult trends, or cultural trends, I should say. Deceived by political correctness. Deceived by false messages. Deceived by icons of this world. Deception's huge, and it's beautiful. It's all dolled up.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 says, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means. Did you hear that? Don't let anybody deceive you by any means. That person, though, Pastor Jack, when that person opens his mouth, It's like butter. I just feel good when I hear their voice. Deception. Oh, when they look in, when they just look into my living room television, I feel like they're sitting right next to me. And I just start writing checks to them. Deception. You know what? He teaches the Bible, but there's just a little bit thing. You know, it's kind of cute, I think. And he's funny. Deception. Watch out. Be careful. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter 1, 20 to verse 1 of chapter 2. Know this first, that no prophecy, revelation of Scripture, is of any private interpretation. That means nobody can make up what it means on their own. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were possessed, moved by the Holy Spirit. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. You guys, that's a prophetic warning to us. You and I are living in the age of deception. And I want to ask you, has there been some bamboozle laid upon you to deceive you? Did you get something in the mail? Did you hear something? What's going on? Take heed. Watch out. I'm going to give you a string of verses. We're going to go fast. There's a grave danger at this hour in Christianity. And here's what I'm going to call it. Sloppy Christianity. We have to fight this. I'm going to tell you something right now. This is something I have to fight, that you have to fight. Sloppy Christianity is approaching the things of God in a half-hearted way. I wake up in the morning. I don't know about you guys, but when's the last time we had a real whopper of an earthquake? Don't say that. Don't say that. No, come on. Things have been pretty quiet and calm. I mean, it's been hot, but for the Christian, this is as hot as it gets. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But it's been hot, but it's summer. Been kind of calm, hasn't it? So I start thinking, you know what? I know that life doesn't go like this normally. I'm not saying that there's going to be a fire, a heat wave, a shaking, an earthquake, a what? I don't know. But you know what's been in my mind lately? This is just silly Jack talking. I sleep right next to a sliding glass window. And tonight, because I've been thinking about it, tonight I'm going to sleep with my tennis shoes next to my bed. Now, as a Californian, I should do that anyway. Because we feel the earth move under our feet. I just feel the sky tumbling down. You know what I'm saying? You see, what are you talking? Wait a minute. You can freak out about that, or you can get ready. So what if it doesn't happen? I was ready. At least I'll have my tennis shoes on every day before you ever get your shoes on, because they're closest to me. I'm ready. So listen, I'm going to give you some verses to combat sloppy Christianity, because we have a tendency to not be ready, to, so to speak, spiritually sleep in, to be apathetic about the passion of God in our lives. And every day I wake up, I thank God. Lisa and I just do this together. We out loud say, Lord, thank you for getting us through the night. I'm appreciative of that now, especially with people running around who want to do me in. I thank God, Lord, thank you for getting me through the night. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, of whom we have much to say concerning Christ. Hard to explain, he said, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers and you ought to need someone to teach you, instead, the first elements of Christ, the first principles and the oracles of God, and you have come now to need milk and not solid food. Paul warned the believers in the book of Hebrews, you become dull of hearing. Yeah, I heard that before. The word in Greek means you've got fat stuck in your ears, lard. Kind of a funny picture, isn't it? Got a bunch of pork chops hanging out of your ears? Matthew 13, 15. For the hearts of this people, Jesus says, have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Are you excited about the things of God? Matthew 24, 13. Listen, Jesus said, he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. You've got to finish your race, church. You've got to. I have no power over that. I can give you the word and I can pray for you, but you've got to take it in and then run with it. You've got to not be satisfied with someone else living out your Christian vision. You need to live it out. You need to see what God was speaking to you and open your eyes and run with it. Matthew 10, 22, but you will be hated for my name's sake, but he who endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. Mark 13, 13, but you will be hated for my name's sake, but he who endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. Jack, you're repeating yourself. That's because Jesus repeated himself over and over again. It's serious. It's amazing. We need to be ready and not be sloppy about our Christianity. In 1 John 2, 28, the scriptures warned that we need to be confident when he returns and not be put to shame at his coming. Finally, this, he expects you and I to know what time it is. It's time for you and I to know our future. He says at the latter end of verse 8, for many will come. The word in Greek means not a few. There'll be a lot of people coming. Note it, Bible student. Number one, in my name. It doesn't mean they're going to become. They're going to show up and say, "I'm Jesus Christ." That's not what that word means. They're going to come up and they're going to declare that they have the authority of Christ. That's what that word means, the authority. I have the authority of Christ. And what is that authority? To save souls. I've been sent by God to save you, the false prophet will say. And they say something else. Look, they come in the authority of Christ and they say, "I am ego emi, the eternal one." And look, number two, see the word "and" right there? It's a connection. It connects two things, two principles, two foundations of the ministries of the false prophets in the last days. Number one, they are going to be announcing to you that they can save you with their system. That's number one. And the connecting declaration, this is the second thing, or the premise or the foundation that they have. They're going to say this, Jesus says, "The time has drawn near." Jesus says, "Therefore, do not go after them." We can save you, and we know something about the end days that you don't know. And you've either missed it or you're missing it. Check it out. This is amazing. Jesus wants you to know your future because your future is biblically rooted. And by that, you'll be able to ward off the attacks of the last day's events. 2 Thessalonians 2:1 says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him." Listen, we read it a moment ago. "That you should not be shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter," by any means, okay? Watch this. "As if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." Notice it's past tense. He says, watch out for people who say it's already happened. You've missed it. "Let no one deceive you by any means." Why do I bring that up? I'm only going to pick on one group. In the prophecies of the Jehovah Witnesses, in what is written, "The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life," page 87, teaches that Jesus Christ returned to earth in his second coming in 1914 and is waiting. He is in waiting in Brooklyn, New York today. Did you know that? They don't tell you that at the door, do they? Did you know that Jehovah's Witnesses teach that we are in the millennium right now? Oh yeah? Go get a lion and a lamb and lay them down together and see what happens. Take your little two-year-old and go find a rattlesnake hole out here in the hills and put your little two-year-old on a rattlesnake den and see what happens. What do you bring that for? Because the Bible says that when the Lord comes back and creates and establishes the millennium, the lion will lay down with the lamb and a little child will have fun playing at the hole or the den of an adder. Can you imagine a little kid playing with a cobra, kissing a cobra, wearing it around his neck? "Hey, mommy, look at this python I found." And then the millennium, they're going to say, "That's a cute python, Johnny." That's when Christ reigns. The Watchtower and Bible Tract Society, the Jehovah's Witnesses, say that Jesus returned in 1914. You say, "Oh, that's terrible. Listen, how you can know the future? Listen to what Jesus said. You're going to want to write this down. Matthew 24, 23. "If anyone says to you, 'Look, here is Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe him. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible." That means it's impossible. It means it's really tremendous deception. But it is, if possible, would deceive even the very elect. You know what that means? That means the true believer will not be deceived. There'll be those who look like believers who will be deceived, but the true believer will not be deceived. If possible, it says, which means it's impossible for the true believer. Wow.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called "What You Should Know About the Real Jesus, Part 1. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Looking for an inspiring way to pass some time? Or maybe just need some help to get through your workday? How about listening while you work? Real Life Podcasts with Jack Hibbs brings you real stories, real people with real life experiences. From inspiring journeys to thought-provoking conversations, we've got it all. So discover a world of knowledge, laughter, and connection. Real Life Podcasts and so much more are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
What is the ultimate point and purpose of Bible prophecy? Is it to scare us or prepare us? There's a special book by the prophecy pros, Jeff Kinley and Tom Hampston, that breaks it all down and makes it real simple, answering questions like, why are there different interpretations of prophetic Bible scriptures? How do we know which is correct? When it comes to symbolic prophecies, how do we decide to interpret them literally or metaphorically? The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times simplifies difficult and confusing aspects of last days prophecy using easy-to-understand language, diagrams, images, and statistics. If you've ever been unsure about the purpose, the context, or timeline of end times prophecy, let the Prophecy Pros put your mind at ease with this practical and informative guide. A copy of the Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times will be sent to you when you donate to the Ministry of Real Life today. Get your copy at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.